The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody, today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Byron Donalds joins us, and then I riff on Cornel West, No Labels, how Donald Trump can win. We talk about that and more. Get involved with Turning Point USA at TPUSA.com. That is TPUSA.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at TPUSA.com. Turning Point USA, TPUSA.com. That is TPUSA.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. We have the great Byron Donalds with us. Could you imagine the Donalds, 2024? Byron Donalds, Donald Trump. What do you think, Byron? The Donalds, 2024? How does that sound? See?
I mean, Charlie, you keep getting me in trouble.
I get you in trouble all
Look,
the time.
Look, my thing is...
I'm your number one man. I'm your number one fan. You know that. Number one supporter. So, but you don't have to answer that. Unless you want to.
No, I'm good.
All right, okay.
Honestly, though, it's just about winning.
It's just about winning.
We got to win. We got to get the country back on track.
You've been an amazing supporter of President Trump. I hope the audience knows that. You've been terrific and of the truth. Tell us about the Devin Archer transcribed interview. What's the latest? What do we know? And how is this relevant to the Biden corruption probe and potential impeachment?
Oh, you're talking about the biggest story that the media won't cover? Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you about it. Look, what Devin Archer essentially came in and told us is that, Hunter Biden would get him on the phone multiple times, 20 times. And, you know, Devin, he tried to go out his way to say, oh, but Joe Biden never talked about business on the call. But here's the problem. If you're influence peddling, if that's what you're doing, which is exactly what the Bidens have been doing all this time, I don't need you talking business. I just got to show the people I'm getting money from that I can access you at a moment's notice. And So let's bring this into the real world, right? We all got family. We got kids. We got wives, you know, husbands, whatever, whoever you are. If you're called constantly by, let's say, your son, after the first or second call, you're going to call your son and be like, dude, who are these people you got me on the phone with? Especially if the way Hunter and Joe talk about it and Devin Archer, that they talk every day. If you talk every day, you know what your son is doing. So we know that that Joe Biden lied when he said he never talked to his son, never talked to a business associate. His son never got any money from foreign countries. We all know that's a lie. And where we are right now is making that last tie that Joe Biden did benefit from Hunter's shakedown of foreign countries and foreign companies. There are text messages where Hunter says, yeah, to his daughter, at least I don't make you give up half your salary the way I have to give up half of my money to my dad. He texts that to his own daughter in 2019. We do believe there's a receipt of some hotel where he paid for Joe Biden's hotel stay.
Yep.
So at this point, Charlie, I don't even need Joe Biden to really have taken money. All I got to show is that Hunter was paying the bills. And if Hunter was paying the bills, that is pay for play. It's a quid pro quo. You put that in line with the fact that they did take millions from Burisma.
Yep.
And a prosecutor that went in and that was fired was because of pressure brought by Joe Biden. That's where we are.
And so, look, Byron, you're going to have to help me out here. OK, I like to think that some people in the Democrat Party can be honest and rational. I'm losing that faith. Dan Goldman, what is there something wrong with this guy? Like, I actually mean, is there something I'm missing? Like, is there a widget missing? Is there some sort of like this guy is? I mean, I'll just stop there. Is there something wrong with this person?
I mean, look, he's the new Adam Schiff, as far as I'm concerned. That's the role he's playing on their side of the aisle. because Dan is, you know, he'll come out and just make these statements.
He just makes stuff
and it's
up.
The statements of an attorney.
Yes.
Listen, this is the statements of a defense attorney, as far as I'm concerned. He is the leading defense attorney in Congress for the Biden family.
Yes.
And so he's going to spin and do whatever he needs to do. But I just ignore him. First, I laugh, then I ignore him. Because the truth of the matter is, anybody with common sense knows that Joe Biden knew exactly what was going on. Look, Charlie, when Joe Biden was vice president, that's when they set up all these accounts, these 20, 30 bank accounts.
That's such a good point.
They set all that up when he was vice president of the United States. And again, you talk to your son every day. Your son's with you on Air Force Two, going to every country that Barack Obama basically gave you authority over. He's on every trip, and then money's coming in, and you don't know. If you don't know, then you're a bigger fool, and you're incompetent, and you definitely don't deserve to be commander in chief.
So Byron, is it time for impeachment?
Yes. Next question.
Is the Speaker of the House ready to proceed on that in a timeline where we can start to have orderly hearings, vote, and get it to the Senate for a trial? Impeachment inquiry.
I actually believe so. I've not talked to the Speaker about it, but talking with Chairman Comer, Chairman Jordan, we've been, you know, talking during the August recess. I think we're going to be in line to do this. And look, for, you know, the Republicans in the Senate, some of them, and even some of my colleagues in the House, you got to understand that we have more evidence than the Democrats wish they ever could compile with respect to Donald Trump. We got more evidence than Jack Smith has. What Jack Smith is doing is just atrocious and ridiculous.
Yes.
We have more evidence than anything they ever had against Richard Nixon. It's all sitting in front of us. The question becomes, are the Republicans, are we going to now finally play the real game that is going on, which is risk, the game of global domination, or are we still going to be playing Uno? Because if we're playing Uno while the Democrats are playing risk, we're going to lose, period, point blank.
So, Byron, I mean, just taking the temperature, do you think some of the more moderate Republicans are going to vote for impeachment potentially?
I actually believe so, because when we're done laying out this case, and I think obviously there's a lot of talking points and media interviews that are swirling. But when you get into impeachment inquiry, you actually get to the actual elements of either treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors. Like those are the three tenets of impeachment. When we lay out this argument, it's going to be very difficult for some of my colleagues to say, no, he didn't do anything, because it smells, it stinks, it reeks. But when you lay out all the data points, logically, there is nowhere else to go. What are we going to do? Get a special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland to look into this? Yeah, right. That guy will do nothing. How do I know this? Because the current special counsel looking into Joe Biden for his documents case, we haven't heard a peep from that guy. We only hear about Jack Smith and what he's doing with respect to Donald Trump. So this falls to the House of Representatives, and I think that my colleagues on the more moderate side of the aisle are going to do the right thing when all the information is laid in front of them.
So, and then let's talk about defunding Jack Smith. This is something I don't understand. Why has this not been done, or why is this not being seriously considered? Just to say, your funding is up, DOJ. This is completely unconstitutional, what's happening here. Is that realistic?
I definitely think it's on the table. We're in the middle of going through, they call it CJS. That's actually the appropriations bill that covers the Department of Justice, FBI, and many other agencies. And so we're going through that right now. There are many members like myself who not only want to start looking at the special counsel section of the Department of Justice, but some of the other sections of the Department of Justice, pulling back a lot of that money, and then also requiring transparency. Like, who are they hiring over there? How much are they paying for lawyers over there? Because if you have this situation where you have a rogue prosecutor who's spending millions and millions and millions of dollars, frankly, upsetting the very fabric of our republic, Congress should not be funding that. And so we're the spending fight is about to occur, Charlie, because the government runs out of money on September 30. House Republicans are going to have major input on how government spending is going to go through the next calendar year. And so we should use this opportunity to hold these agencies accountable. And let me say this for the knuckleheads out there in Twitterverse. We want to fund the appropriate aspects of government. The rank and file at the DOJ, at the FBI, at the IRS, we want to make sure they have the money necessary to do their jobs as under federal law. What we don't want are these radical people at the appointee level, these political holdovers who are dug in and who are making your agencies and making our institutions look terrible and look like a third world banana republic. We should not be funding that.
We shouldn't be funding it. And if we can't agree on that, then that is incredibly disappointing. I mean, just think about it. Do you think if Pelosi was speaker, if Pelosi was speaker and there was a special counsel that would have found and had some sort of conviction towards Obama or Biden, they would have defunded it immediately. Congressman Byron Donalds, you're doing a great job. Donalds 2024, I'm just saying, a lot of people are saying it. Just smile and say, Charlie, you get me in trouble. You're welcome back anytime. Byron Donalds, great American.
Thank you. Thanks, Charlie. See you.
I want the audience, tell me, who do you think Donald Trump should have as his vice president? I'm curious. freedom@charliekirk.com. I just love the idea of the Donalds. Donald Trump, Byron Donalds, two alpha males. Boom. I think that'd be great. I'm open to other options. Ron Johnson would be a good one, too. I've been pushing Ron Johnson a lot. Who do you think Donald Trump should select as vice president? I'm curious. I want to hear from you. freedom@charliekirk.com. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. And we want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial, who I use for my wealth management future, develop a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide to pivoting into the new chapter of Life with Purpose, visit PaxFG.com/Charlie. That is PaxFG.com/Charlie. PaxFG.com/Charlie. There's a piece I want to talk about. New York Times opinion piece. It's not usually something that gets a lot of attention here. I was reading it late last night. And I was like, wow, this is very interesting. It's pretty good. And it basically focuses and emphasizes and asks the question, what if we are the bad guys? What if we're the ones that are actually on the wrong side of history? It's by David Brooks, and he's not my favorite. Now, they changed the title, actually, on the NewYorkTimes.com because it was too blunt. They changed it to On Anti-Trumpers and Modern Meritocracy. They changed the title. It's just a little bit too honest. So David Brooks kind of meanders in this piece a little bit. But the original title says, what if we are the bad guys? What if we're the ones that are actually overzealously acting? And there's a paragraph of this article that's just so extraordinary. But there's part of that's really smart, actually. I don't know. I don't know how much he believes in this. But he talks about how social classes in America are driving almost everything. And how the Trump phenomenon is a rebellion against the elites. Elites that have different rules for themselves versus you, the everyday, the ordinary, the American worker. One of the most fascinating parts of the article is something I have highlighted before, which is the issue of single motherhood. And if you mention single parenting or single motherhood on colleges, professors will call you racist. They say you can't do that. But it's amazing because the actual members of elite society are adherents to this idea that you should not have kids out of wedlock. And so the members of elite society are actually far more socially conservative than their values, than what they talk about. Their private values are inconsistent with their publicly held beliefs. David Brooks writes in this article, armed with all kinds of economic, cultural, and political power, we support policies, we being the elites, that help ourselves. Free trade makes the products we buy cheaper, and our jobs are unlikely to be moved to China. Open immigration makes our service staff cheaper, but new, less educated immigrants aren't likely to put downward pressure on our wages. Obviously, neoliberalism is really good if you're hyper-educated, an Ivy League graduate, or part of the American ruling class. It is a set of policy proposals that help the rich, that help the powerful. Donald Trump presented a different path, saying that the elites are corrupt. The elites are in bed, literally, with Jeffrey Epstein and underage girls. That the elites are selling out the soul of America. That the elites are doing deals with the Chinese Communist Party. That the elites are actually not that smart. They're definitely not wise. They're craven. He talks in the article, this just makes it nauseous. David Brooks says, does this mean that I think the people in my class are vicious and evil? No, most of us are earnest, kind, and public-spirited. This is one of the most important parts of the article. It's irrelevant if they think they are doing good. The intention means nothing. Adolf Hitler thought he was doing good. Are you actually doing good? Is the act itself good? And honestly, before I get some sort of lecture from David Brooks on how public-spirited are, either the elites are, the American elites, which I have so much contempt for the American elite class, they're snobs, they're smug, they operate in what could be best described as a self-created secret society, where if you do not know the special code or the handshake, you are not allowed into the club. You have to go to the right schools, say the right things, donate to the right causes, be obedient to the hierarchy, and then you're allowed into the club. I find that to be repulsive. But once you're in the club, they will protect you. James Comey, Anthony Fauci, Peter Strzok. Once you're in the club, you're a select member of the American ruling class. What Donald Trump represents, and this is just so, in this article, this guy, David Brooks, writes, are Trump supporters right that the indictments are a political witch hunt? Of course not. As a card-carrying member of my class, I still basically trust the legal system and the neutral arbiters of justice. Trump is a monster in the way we've all been saying for years and deserves to go to prison. There's a chance he's being sarcastic here, but I don't think so. Card-carrying members of the American ruling class, they hate Trump because he's given a voice to you, and there's finally a rebellion against their treachery, misdeeds, and criminality against you. Listen, as students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest, most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. And these days, in addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you and me. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from my friends at Hillsdale is through InPrimus, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. My listeners can sign up for free at this special website, which is available for a limited time. It's at charlie4hillsdale.com. I look forward to InPrimus each month, and you can too. It's interesting, useful, and free, the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale and InPrimus at charlie4hillsdale.com. They're an excellent college, America's greatest college, charlie4hillsdale.com. I had a gathering recently with a group of grassroots patriots, and we were anticipating a certain amount of people, a handful of people, and like usually it's 10 or 15 people. We meet locally in Arizona, have a conversation. We had over 75 or 80 people show up. And the number one thing people were asking is, Charlie, how do we help Trump? 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 Some of these people were pastors, by the way, running churches. How do we ballot chase? How do we legally collect ballots if we can? And I told them in Arizona, you got to be, you know, follow the law 100%. Democrats break the law. We're going to follow the law 100%. But the intensity of people had and the fear that I keep hearing is, well, Donald Trump can't win. Donald Trump can't win. Donald Trump can't win. That is a lie. Will Donald Trump win? I have no idea. Are the odds stacked against him? Yes. Will all the intel agencies, color revolution, culture revolution be deployed? Yes. However, there is a path. I'm actually grabbing this right now. As Donald Trump is about to arrive to get arraigned in federal courthouse, let's talk about this. Let's slow this down and remind you what is the path. He's going to be the nominee. All this primary stuff, it's a distraction, it's entertaining, it's a waste of time. $1.5 billion, poof, you might as well vaporize it. We could, if we were a serious political party, we could say, wow, Donald Trump was a former president. He didn't get a fair shake in 2020. He's up 45, 50 points in the polls. Primary, waste of time. Okay, Chris Christie, you could stay in the race. You can get two votes. Donald Trump will get 90%. Let's go to the general. He has earned the right to run again. Everyone's there had their chance this summer. Are you getting traction? By the way, this is what drives me nuts. You know, the DeSantis people, oh, there hasn't been a vote cast. No, you know what the real vote is? Small dollar donations. If you're getting, if Ron DeSantis had hundreds of thousands of small dollar donors, I would totally understand the argument. If you cannot raise small dollar donations, that is the number one indicator of future votes, future caucus attendance, future primary viability. Bernie Sanders showed us that. Donald Trump has showed us that. Barack Obama showed us that back in 2007, 2008. And so, excuse me while I say, Ron DeSantis, you can't raise with hundreds of thousands of small dollar donors at this point. You're not showing me viability. Okay? It doesn't matter if you have $130 million in your super PAC. It does not matter. Jeb Bush had $100 million in a super PAC. He finished fourth in South Carolina and became a laughingstock and basically destroyed his political career. I do not want to see that happen to Ron DeSantis. I don't. Okay. So Donald Trump's going to be the nominee. The primary should be over. Can he win? Here's some good news. That dealing with grassroots folks, not the RNC, waste of time, actual grassroots people, they're asking the right questions. Charlie, how do we engage in the early voting period? How do we win? And I'm telling you, there is a chance, and I'm not trying to get anybody's hopes up. There is a chance that these indictments have triggered a quiet, very hard to detect, almost subterranean raising of the activism level of the conservative movement. There's a chance. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing evidence of it. I'm pretty in touch with the grassroots. I travel the country. I talk to people. There is a chance that these indictments are making people want to work harder than ever before, do the work, put aside, you know, football games, summers at the lake or whatever to go do the work. There's a chance that this injustice that we see in real time, as you can see, that DC federal courthouse, the American government versus you. That's what this is. It's the American government versus the First Amendment, American government versus you. Okay. So the low IQ talking point, I'll be very honest, is Donald Trump can't win. Does Donald Trump have a tough battle? Yes. The very same verbiage is used what happened in 2016. Oh, Donald Trump can't win. You got to escape that kind of mentality, okay? If you believe he can't win, then you'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy. I will acknowledge it's going to be tough. The odds are stacked against us. Someone asked me, Charlie, what are the odds? I refuse. I'm not Caesar's Palace, okay? I don't have the betting odds. The odds are in the favor. Now, people might say, why are the odds stacked against us? You might ask that. Even though the economy is terrible, border wide open, country in collapse, we're chemically castrating kids. Because the Democrats are a serious political party, and the Republicans are a joke. The Republicans are a clown car. RNC, Republican establishment, clown car. They're all paying each other off. It's a disaster. We do not have full-time ballot-chasing organizers on the right. We do not have an effort to secure our elections. We do not have a lawfare strategy. The Democrats are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on the boring stuff that's going to make a difference. Why are the odds stacked against us? The Democrats have billionaires and plutocrats to come in and fund whatever they want in an unlimited fashion. Why are the odds stacked against us? The intel agencies are against us. Why are the odds stacked against us? Because there will be another attempt at a George Floyd moment in 2024. Whether it be drag Floyd, whether it be climate change Floyd, I don't know what it is, but there's going to be an attempted color revolution again in 2024 in an election year to try and ignite some form of grassroots, quote unquote, synthetic energy to then just go for the election and they disappear. Color revolution style, same way that we put Zelensky in office in Ukraine, they're going to try it here. The intel agencies will do it. And they're going to try to scare the electorate from electing another divisive candidate. But Trump can still overcome all of that. Politico.com. We've been warning about this. We've actually been telling you this is coming. This right here could be the game change. And the Democrats are so smart. The Republicans are corrupt, not deep thinkers. They're like, oh, you know, the future is Tim Scott. Tim Scott's a really decent guy. Okay? Sweet person. I'd put him on my church elder board. I mean that. Tim Scott, church elder board. I trust you. You know, not to steal a penny and be ethical. Tim Scott should not be running for the presidency right now. Okay? We need a warrior. Enough of this. Okay, you guys have had your chance. They're about to indict Donald Trump in front of a federal courthouse, and I have to hear Tim Scott keep telling me that it's morning in America. Literally, someone sent me a clip. He just gave a speech in Orange County. You know, it's morning in America. Our best days are ahead of us. Enough time. Like, it's not 1984. Like, I can't handle this anymore. Okay? Like, this, you got to get out of the muscle memory of just like pre-scripted consultant happy talk. We're in a middle of a existential crisis against the Republic. Biden world moves to stave off Cornel West and no labels threat. Boom. Politico, a little behind the curve. We've been saying this for weeks. I'm telling you, this could be the whole ball game. Because Joe Biden can't speak in sentences, because the Democrat Party has an unholy alliance that they're barely keeping together. It is a marriage of misfits. It's a team of rivals of corporate America and SJW, pro-trans, open border zealots like AOC, Rashida Tlaib, like actual ideological Marxists. This coalition is going to break apart at some point. We've predicted this. There has been an unholy marriage because of the hatred of Donald Trump and the threat that he poses to the American Democrat Party, where you have Bolsheviks and Goldman Sachs bankers together in the same political party. It's bizarre and it's unsustainable. Make no mistake, the progressive wing of the left hates Biden, and the centrist Manchin wing hates him too. So there are two simultaneous forces that might manifest, and I'm telling you, it could just spell doom for Joe Biden. And they're two separate flavors on the buffet line of political choices. They're totally distinct. Number one is this no labels thing. This no labels thing looks legit. It's a lot of disaffected Republican donors. I know some of them. They don't support us anymore at Turning Point. Nice people. They just see the world differently, much more from a Chamber of Commerce view. But they do not like Joe Biden. To their credit, they don't like Joe Biden. So they say, you know what? We're going to draft this new political party in the tradition of like John Huntsman and of Mitt Romney and Joe Manchin and Kirsten Sinema, where we're going to be solution-based. We're going to call it no labels, pump a bunch of money into it, and they'll run as third-party candidates in the states. Okay. And that can break apart the Democrats' marginal difference of getting votes, because Democrats have been able to win states like Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia by winning over suburban voters, by pummeling them with advertising, winning them over on center-right messaging, but saying that the Republicans are too radical, too divisive. A no-labels campaign would win over a lot of votes in Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia. No guarantee. It could hurt Republicans. I'll take that bet. Okay, I will take that bet that no labels will hurt Democrats more than Republicans. But then you have a simultaneously completely different asymmetrical threat. And people forget, in the 2016 election, one of the reasons why Donald Trump won is because Jill Stein was on the ballot as a Green Party candidate. Now, why was the Green Party unsuccessful to get on the ballot in 2020? Two major reasons. Number one was a lawfare operation by the American Democrat Party that sued to keep them off the ballot. Number two, though, was COVID. It was really hard to collect signatures. Lockdowns, hard to get organizers, hard to get people to sign up. COVID was this, it was very hard for these grassrootsy, scrappy, Marxist third-party candidates and campaigns to be able to get on the ballot. So the Democrats sued and they kept the Green Party off the ballot in Georgia. They kept the Green Party off the ballot in Wisconsin. They kept the Green Party off the ballot in Pennsylvania. And they kept the Green Party off the ballot in Arizona. Well, now there is this smooth-talking black nationalist Marxist social justice warrior professor who speaks like a Southern preacher with a lot of eloquence, who I've been following for years, and you kind of know him if you're in kind of the, you know, if you follow some of the internet circles of kind of black Marxism, is Cornel West. Cornel West, I'm telling you, if he gets on the ballot, Green Party or like Black Nationalist Party or Black Marxist Party, he can peel off 2-3% of the black vote in Atlanta, 2-3% of the black vote in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And now you're talking, that would pair to no labels. You have a ball game. Even without those things, you still have a ball game. Because here's an almost guarantee. Cornel West is not going to steal a single Trump voter. No labels is going to steal very few Trump voters. Trump's base is considered to be his greatest liability. Oh, he can't expand outside of his base. But when you have four candidates, it might be his greatest asset. What I'm getting at is we have no idea what this election is going to look like. We just got to do the work. We got to do the work. I believe this will be one of the most unpredictable, chaotic, confusing elections in history. We are in uncharted territory ever. We're indicting former presidents. We got a senile guy that can't even speak in sentences who's a traitor to the United States. We got a black preacher professor type from Princeton University running on third-party candidates. We got a bunch of donors that want to launch no labels. This is an election where if anybody tells you they know what is going to happen, they are lying to you. The same way they lied about COVID, the same way. Nobody knows. I don't know. Here's what I do know. We're going to get to work. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow's 20-year anniversary, they're celebrating over 80 million pillows sold. Mike Lindell with MyPillow wants to thank you by giving you the lowest price in history on their MyPillows. You'll receive a queen-size MyPillow for $19.98. Regular price is $69.98. and just $10 more for a king size. With this special anniversary offer, you'll receive a deep discount on all MyPillow products, such as their bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Kirk to receive this amazing offer on the queen size MyPillow. It's time to start getting the quality sleep you deserve. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Receive this amazing offer on the queen size MyPillow. Let's support my friend Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. It's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Biden world moves to stave off Cornel West and no labels threat. Inside the party, there is bubbling concern of a repeat of what happened 7 years ago when Green Party candidate Jill Stein drew more votes in three critical battleground states than the amount by which Donald Trump beat Hillary in those places. Operatives are determined to not let it happen. So the Democracy Party, the party that lectures us about our democracy every single day, even though we're a republic, are determined to make sure that people do not have choices. Cornel West, a prominent academic and civil rights leader with ties to Bernie Sanders, has already launched a bid on the Green Party ticket. As Biden looks to fend off that threat, Joe Manchin has flirted with the presidential run with the group No Labels that Democrats fear could deprive Biden of moderate votes. I mean, boy, if we had our act together, we should do everything we possibly can to get these people on the ballot. Let's just get them on the ballot. Get them on the ballot. More choices, democracy, power to the people. Isn't this what they're always lecturing us? They don't want democracy or choices. They want power and control. The third parties can take away enough votes to make Donald Trump win, Selinda Lake, a pollster for Biden, said. Not only do you have No Labels, but you have Cornel West, which I think is very formidable, also in the black community. We've been saying this. The Democrats, I got to give them credit. They're clever and they're smart. Just so you know, Republicans are so stupid. I have not talked to a single Republican consultant that is even thinking about this. You know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about, what candidate in the primary can we make money off of? There's no strategic thinking. There's no war room. Outside of Bannon's wonderful program, it's just they're kind of just like, what's going to happen? I hope we win. The Democrats are involved in Republican primaries. You know that, right? They spend money in Republican primaries proudly. Maybe it's time for Republicans to go raise a bunch of money. We go to a bunch of our donors and say, let's get the Green Party on the ballot. Cornel West, we are behind you, man. Power to the people. Democracy is the only option. They're going to be suing actively. The Democrat Party, the party of democracy, is going to be suing to make sure that you don't have options in the key states. We have to limit your options because that's democracy. Young people, disaffected people who are willing to vote against Trump, anybody but Trump, to beat Trump, are now looking for other options. Yeah, no kidding. Biden world has been monitoring West and No Labels. Here's the real question. How long until Cornel West is indicted by the Department of Justice? That's the real question. How long until Cornel West, Jack Smith says,
Cornel West is a conspiracist against the United States.
How long? How long until Cornel West is deemed a domestic terrorist? Conspiracy to defraud the United States. Biden world has been monitoring West and No Labels, but those closest to Biden believe that the memory of Stein and the possibility of another Trump presidency will prevent a third-party candidate from drawing much support in 2024. Democrats are fearful, it says. They're going to do everything they possibly can to prevent them from getting on the ballot. You know that Democrats fund libertarians to go on the ballot to take votes away from Republicans? Labor unions do it. Left-wing organizers do it. Left-wing billionaires do it. The right doesn't play this way. Why? Because we don't want to win. Most people in the conservative movement actually don't want to play to win. They don't. They want to play to lose nobly. Like Mike Pence. Mike Pence wants to lose but get a book deal and be, I'm a really honorable man. I'm Mike Pence. We've got to play to win. You want to win? You want to win your country? Learn something from the Democrats. Democrats fund libertarians to go on the ballots all across the country because they know that it could splinter Republican votes. They did this in the Georgia Senate race. No Green Party. Republicans don't think that way. No, no, no. We're too busy spending ads. I don't know even what we're doing. Spending ads for Tim Scott? Sweet man. Waste of time. But then you also have the other person I haven't even mentioned. RFK Jr. Hello? Imagine you have five people on the ballot. RFK Jr., Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Cornel West, Joe Manchin, Mitt Romney, same thing, whatever. Joe Manchin has said, I've not ruled out a third-party bid for the White House. No Labels is effective at raising money, according to Politico.com. But many close to Biden say that they take the group and leaders like Manchin at their word that they want to play spoiler for Trump. Or do they? You pair this with another Politico.com article. Barack Obama warns about the political power of Donald Trump. Barack Obama coming out saying that Donald Trump is way more powerful than you realize. John Fetterman, who in a rare moment of clarity woke up out of a coma. John Fetterman comes out and says, I see more Trump signs than ever before in Pennsylvania. John Fetterman. John Fetterman comes out and says, this is Trump country in Pennsylvania. If you or somebody you know tells you that they guarantee Trump can lose, they're misleading and lying to you. CNN just wrote an article that Donald Trump can win. New York Times, Siena poll has them tied. Has anyone ever been able to figure out how to pull a five-person race? Good luck. Here's what I know. Donald Trump's base is stronger than ever because of these indictments. People will consolidate around him. And in a multi-person race, we might just have the edge. Get to work. Chase ballots. Secure our elections. File the proper lawsuits. Stop supporting the Republican establishment. Pray and fast for our nation. We might just have a fighting shot. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you've told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attacks on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. This is your moment to get in the fight. Every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Go to ACLJ.org right now and join us in the fight.